You're listening to the Chasing Tales Outdoor Podcast, where when you can't be in the outdoors, we bring it to you.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Chasing Tales Outdoor Podcast. My name is Chase. I am doing this episode alone this week. This is going to be kind of a unique episode. I hop on the line with my good buddy, Brandon Ogden. We recently took a short trip out to the Midwest to do some scouting for our rut hunt coming up in November on some public land. Brandon has never been out to the Midwest, so we discuss a lot of what his thoughts were comparing the Midwest to Florida. I know a lot of you guys have expressed some interest in getting outside of Florida or some of these other southern states to go to the Midwest to hunt. I think this will be a good episode for you guys. We're going to do a part two once the trip is over. Hopefully we'll have some bucks on the ground and some good stories to tell. Before we get to the podcast, though, I'd like to remind everybody that Spartan Forge is one of the sponsors of our podcast. We've talked about it a ton. Walter and I have been beta testing the app that's coming out. We're fixing to get Bill on the podcast to talk a whole lot more about that. So if you get a chance, check out Spartan Forge. It's AI technology. It's going to help you in a number of ways. So check those guys out if you get a chance. Next, Scree Gear. I took a lot of my Scree Gear up on this scouting trip. I've always had good stuff to say about the Scree Gear. I recently got their rain gear, so I'm looking forward to trying that out. Tried it on. It is supreme quality. I got some of their gaiters, some of their gloves recently, so I'm looking forward to trying all of that stuff out. But if it's anything like my other stuff, I'm sure it's going to be great. Other than that, I'm going to get you guys onto the podcast. I know some of our intros can be long, so this one's going to be short. Hopefully here soon, Walter and I will be able to get back on the podcast together. Our schedules have just not lined up for that. Hope you enjoy this podcast with me and Brandon Ogden.
All right, everybody. On the line, I have Mr. Brandon Ogden, a good buddy of mine. We did a podcast earlier this summer on scouting, summer scouting. Figured I'd bring Brandon back on the podcast. Brandon is headed to Missouri with me in November, and we are going to try to get on some big Midwestern bucks. Brandon has never been out to the Midwest, so I figured it'd be a good opportunity to get him back on the podcast so we can talk about our recent scouting trip that we did. It was a two-day scouting trip. It was busy. We put a lot of miles on the ground. I think we tallied it up. It was somewhere between 23-24 miles boots on the ground on this particular piece of public. So how are you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm just I got a little bit of a man flu going on here. Just trying to recover from our long quick journey to the good old Midwest of Missouri.
Right. We started talking about this probably back, I think, in the summer at some point.
It was definitely summer.
Yeah, summertime. You said that you would be interested in doing some filming for me going up there. And I'd also never been to the Midwest. You wanted to be able to get that experience. And I knew that you would be one of those guys that would be willing to come along for the ride, for sure. loves hunting. Mainly hunted Florida, like you mentioned on the podcast before. Most of your life, a little bit of Georgia, I think. But I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, like I stated in the other podcast, I've hunted Florida about 98% of it. I hunted a little bit of Georgia, but not very much, mainly when I was a kid. So, yeah, I've been just a straight up Florida boy, anywhere from South Florida to North Florida. I mean, the whole state, really. So,
right. And this was I think we were on the phone one night kind of talking about Missouri, and then all of a sudden I think I mentioned something. I was like, yeah, it'd be good to get up there before the trip, like get up there a couple of days before the trip, maybe fly up there or something. Just kind of threw it out there, and then, I mean, you jumped on it super quick and we're like, oh yeah, and then I was kind of like, oh wait, he's actually down for this. And you were like, oh, it's like, are you being serious? And then the next thing I know, we're buying plane tickets and doing rental cars and finding a place to stay up there. We picked some days kind of around my work. You take a lot of time off during this portion of hunting season anyways, so I knew it would be easy for you to get off. So we got on a plane, flew up to Missouri, and what I want to you to kind of do now is, since you've basically hunted Florida 98% of the time, we got to this particular piece of public. Why don't you kind of describe how it's different from Florida?
Well, first thing that comes to mind is ag fields. There were ag fields beyond ag fields beyond ag fields. And at least where I've hunted in Florida on the public, there is just no ag fields. So that was different right from the start. You know, it was out in very, very rural area. I mean, you're talking 20 miles from any town. So it that's different. You know, most of these WMAs, you know, there's a town within 5 miles usually. So you can get stuff real quick. So out there, I mean, it's rural. You know, it was beautiful though. It was beautiful country to see, and definitely different. You know, there wasn't as much woods, at least where we were at. It was just a lot of fingers and stuff like that. So it's definitely going to have some challenges, but I mean, I'm excited. It's something new. It just kind of reignited me. You know, of course, everybody's telling me once you hit the Midwest, you're not going to want to hunt Florida anymore. I don't know if that's true, but no, man, you know, when you ask me about, you know, going to pre-scout it, I'm like, well, you know, why not? You know, if it saves us time in November to actually do more hunting than scouting, I mean, I'm in. You know, being more efficient is what it's all about. You know, you got to take the opportunity when you can.
Right. And this management area is decent size. And yeah. One of the things that we were trying to kind of figure out is you mentioned that there's ag there, and I kept hearing stuff about like CRP fields and stuff. And a lot of the places in the Midwest I've hunted, there wasn't a ton of CRP fields. I mean, definitely had the ag fields, just a lot of wide open area, the fingers that you kind of mentioned, fence lines where there's trees and stuff to get into, things like that. But there was a lot of CRP.
Oh God. Yeah. There was seas of CRP. I mean, just hundreds of acres of it.
Yeah, giant blocks of CRP too. It wasn't like, it was like, oh yeah, there's 50 acres of CRP or something or whatever. I mean, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of acres that just it might be a CRP field.
Right.
With no tree in sight in some of those. I mean, unless you're just hunting the very edges of those CRP fields. And kind of when we went there now, in which I kind of discussed with you, like all the leaves were still on the trees.
Yeah.
We kind of got there at this point. This was late September when we were there, and everything's still green. All the trees still have their leaves. And a month from now, that's not going to be the case.
Yeah.
It's going to look totally different. I think we were... The main thing we were trying to is just kind of get a lay of the land, figure out all the access points. Because that first day when we got there, we did a lot of driving. We pretty much drove around the whole thing, checking out the parking areas and what type of access we would have to this particular piece of public. And I mean, that took a while. We did have boots on the ground that first day too, because I think we put what, like 7 miles on the first day.
And yeah,
we didn't even start till like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, probably 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon when we finally got there.
We might have been a little bit excited. We said we weren't going to get out and walk. We were just going to strictly drive. But of course, we got to one parking area and we're like, hey, let's go walk this thing. This thing looks good. I think it was the first parking area. I don't even think it was the second one. It was
the very first parking area. We did quite a bit of walking on the first parking area. And I was like, crap, we need to get back in the car and start riding thing.
It was mainly your fault. You're the one that's like, all right, we're just going to walk to here and look here. All right, cool, Chase. Next thing I know, we're walking and walking and walking. I'm like, hey, man, I thought we were going back. Oh, I know. I just want to check this area. All right.
Yeah. I just want to check this area. And you don't realize, it's funny how you start thinking about like time and stuff. Like if you were to spend like 10 hours at your house, just like sitting on the couch or whatever, it would seem like it would take forever to go by. But when you're out scouting and doing things like that, it seems like time just flies by. You're like, oh my goodness, how am I going to cover this whole piece of public? At least, what I was trying to do at the beginning is like trying to rule areas out, like, okay, this big chunk or whatever, I'm just going to rule this out. Like it's just a huge, vast CRP area. And I've got like just no vibe from it currently, but it could change whenever we get back up there and find out what the deer are doing during that time of year, which is, I mean, we're going up there during the rut. So it's going to be basically trying to find the does and hopefully catching bucks cruising downwind or trying to find does in those particular bedding areas is my thoughts when we get there. And we were kind of looking at some sign. I mean, one of the things that we were both amazed about, like when we were up there, is just the amount of white oak acorns that were on the ground and in the trees.
My goodness. Wow. We were rolling over them. I mean, we were just so amazed. We just kept picking them up, taking pictures of them. And we're like, God, these things are monstrous.
Yes. They were monstrous white oak. I mean, and there was a variety of other acorns as well there, but it was just, I mean, there were so many white oaks and it seemed like all of them had acorns on them. I mean, all of them. But I mean, that's not, that probably won't, that may be a little bit of our focus, maybe, if there's still trees that are holding and dropping acorns and stuff while we're there. The soybean fields were still green. I mean, some of them were starting to turn a little bit while we were there, but they were all still like green and lush, these big soybean fields. Most of the corn was cut, if I remember correctly. I mean, there was still some standing corn in a couple of areas, but it looked like it was crops that didn't do too well. Might have had like one cob on them or something like that on the whole bushel. But most of them were cut down. They did leave some standing, it seemed like on the edges and stuff. But as far as the corn was concerned, a lot of it was already cut, which I was kind of surprised.
I thought it was cut a little bit early too, but they might have planted early or something.
Yeah, I think they had a drought this year, it seems like. So it wasn't super wet. I know a lot of times when it's wet, that causes them to cut it a little bit later. The good part about that is we won't have to deal with that when we get back up there, of them just bedding in the corn. I dealt with that in Iowa because they'll just bed up in that corn and not move very much, it seems like. But as far as in the soybeans, like I said, once they turn brown, start to turn and stuff, they'll turn off of them for a while till like way later in the season. Like way later, not while we're there.
Yeah, not while we're there.
So what were your thoughts? Like, we're there, we're walking. Like I said, we put a ton of miles, 23-something miles on the ground. What are your thoughts now, having gone and looked at that particular management area?
Well, I mean, like you said before, everything is still so green, and there's still a lot of food up that's not going to be available when we go. So, it was really beneficial to actually walk the property and to get a feel for it. And, you know, that way we're just not going in totally blind. I think that was super beneficial. But, I mean, looking at everything as a whole, you know, there's definitely some possibilities where the deer are going to be. And I, you know, we both talked, we've both got some very common areas in mind that, you know, we probably want to do a couple sits at, or at least get a feel for it. You know, something I was surprised though, is that, you know, I maybe from seeing hunting shows and all that kind of stuff, that kind of corrupted my brain a little bit, but you know, I didn't see as much, rubs and big scrapes and everything like that. But, you know, up there in the Midwest, it's just different, I think, than down here in the South. You know, I don't think they start doing that stuff. And there is a defined rut in the Midwest, so I don't think that stuff had shown up yet. So that was something I was surprised about. But man, there was a lot of trails. That was something much easier to find, were the trails.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of trails.
And the deer size were definitely different. I mean, the couple deer we did see, I mean, the does, they were monstrous.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I think, well, like one of the first tracks we saw, we took a picture of, was just a massive track crossing like this like dried up creek area. And it seemed like, and that was the other thing, is like pretty much all of the creek beds and everything, they were pretty dry. And from what I understand, normally they have water in them that time of year.
Yeah, and we, you know, we talked about that too, with them being dry. It might be something for us to be able to access some of the areas we wanted to hunt pretty quietly and without being detected.
Right.
So that was good to identify them.
A ton of all them leaves are going to be on the ground.
Yeah. So, yeah. You kept stating that. And I, you know, like I said, when I see it, I'll definitely be like, oh goodness. Yeah. There really is no leaves on these trees anymore.
Right. It'll be nice and crunchy.
Yeah. Nice and crunchy.
Walking through them woods. We didn't see a lot of tree stands. We saw a few, ladder stands that were set up on the public. So it's not even really that we already know, like, okay, a bunch of people are already going to be hunting some of these areas before we get there. From what I've been told, a lot of the locals, just they kind of hunt close to the parking areas. We'll see if that holds true whenever we get there. I mean, right now is not like a great time for everybody to be out hunting and taking time off and stuff like that. We really didn't see, I think we saw one truck that was possibly hunting while we were up there, because I think their season had been kicked off for maybe a couple of weeks by the time we got up there. Although it didn't seem like even some of the locals we talked to even knew what the season was while we were up there, because we were scouting. We were like, oh, what are you up here for? Are you up here for is it ducks or this or that? And we're like, no, we're up here, we're just scouting for deer. They're like, oh, is it deer season yet? I was like, I'm pretty sure it's been deer season up here for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm pretty already. Sure.
So, but I think, like I said, it was a rural area, a lot of farming in that area. I'm sure they're all trying to, like I said, get their crops out and things like that. And that they said, they're ruts to find. Like, it gets kicked off somewhere around the 1st of November, which is when we're planning on being up there. Gonna arrive sometime around the 1st of November when we get up there. I think we're gonna take that first kind of afternoon to do some reconnaissance when we get there, and maybe drive around again, check out the parking areas, see where people are. And there were a couple of areas that after we got done scouting, we were looking at the map, plane ride home, and we're kind of like, oh yeah, this area actually looks good. There were some areas that we didn't get to while we were there. We just couldn't cover the whole thing in the amount of time that we had. And we were trying to find like kind of specific things that we were kind of told to look for by one of the other guys that's going to be hunting up there. He's been on the podcast before, Brett Mashburn. He was trying to give us some tips on things to look for while we were there, places that he's had success. And we started looking kind of hard at the map. We had both downloaded like the offline version of the map so we could look at it on the plane and kind of figure some things out. So we got some other spots that we've got marked on the map that we kind of want to take a look at. And they look like they were harder to access for people. So, and take a little bit more time getting back to things like that. So what's your major concern when we actually get up there and start hunting? Like, what do you feel will be like an obstacle when we get up there, having seen the place?
Well, after seeing the place, I mean, in a sense of access issue, I don't really see us having an issue accessing any place. Everything was, at least compared to Florida, it's going to be pretty easy access for most places. I'm used to walking a long ways anyway, so that's not a big deal. Really, for me in particular, is two things: is pressure from people. You know, it's that glorious first week of November. Everybody probably took off, so you know, just being able to talk with some of the other hunters and just see where they're hunting and make sure we're not messing them up. Dealing with pressure. And I mean, for me, just seeing, learning how the deer use the woods or their lack of, you know, like I said, it's my first time in the Midwest, I just gotta figure out how the deer are using the woods. You know, are they using the CRP fields more? Are they just following edges? That's going to be the biggest obstacle in learning, is just figuring them out, how the deer actually work there. And, you know, like you said before, it's probably going to be a lot of observation sits, at least for me, just to get a lay of the land and how they're using it, you know?
Right.
So that for me is going to be a challenge. I'm hoping we get cold weather. Hopefully it'd be nice to hunt in some cold weather.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, other than that, you know, I'm excited. I think I'm more excited than I am worried.
Right.
You know, this is a big piece of public, so you know, we should be able to get away. And I mean, it is the first week of November, and it is during a week. You know, most people don't take off during the week, so I'm expecting to hit some pressure on the weekends for sure. But no, I'm excited. I'm excited to get it done, and I know between you and me, we'll get something knocked down or at least locked up. You know, we'll be able to see some deer.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I kind of mentioned before, is that this trip may be just one on figuring it out. I mean, we may get a deer, we may not, but it could be a trip where, like I said, we do a lot of observation sits and finally get the deer figured out what they're kind of doing. This time of year in particular, what the does are doing, what they're travel routes are, maybe why they're doing the things that they're doing, and who knows, it could set us up for years to come by going up there this year, figuring it out. Like you mentioned, like there wasn't a ton of sign, it didn't seem like, especially right now. I mean, we found some rubs, we found a few little like scrapes and stuff on field edges, things like that, but I just don't think I think that kind of starts picking up kind of at the end of October area, because like I said, they have a defined rut as opposed to Florida, where who knows, you'll start seeing scrapes at the beginning of the season and they'll keep popping up throughout the season. Rubs same way. So it's kind of hard to compare it that way. You kept kind of mentioning that you were always been of the mindset to stay away from all the open areas, like especially in Florida, stay away from the open. They're going to stay in the thick stuff. Whereas there, you don't really have that luxury.
No. And that was something that, you know, I am going to have to, I guess, get used to and just say, okay, you can, you know, it's all right to hunt right near the edge, you know, and there wasn't a lot, at least on this public, a lot of like, I guess what you call big woods. You know, there was, like I said, there was a lot of fingers, that bordered up with CRP and some type of ag, you know, so that's going to be something different for me. But like I said, I don't think it's going to take too hard to get used to it. I mean, obviously, and another thing we noticed was, I think how beneficial the saddles are going to be. There was not a lot of easy climbing trees, you know, like you couldn't just use you could definitely use a climber for most of it. You know, I think the saddles are going to come in big on this one.
Right. Yeah. The saddles will definitely be key for up there. And there, like I said, some of these trees, you might have to start up one to get into another one. the tree you want to get into. I ran into that in Iowa where I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to start up this tree and then I'm going to have to start the climbing sticks on the tree that I actually want to be in about halfway up to get in that tree. And some of them, you're not going to be able to get up 20, 25 feet in. You're just going to have to settle for 15, 13 feet
off the ground up there, depending on if, I mean, if it's the right spot, it's the right spot. If the deer are using that area, you can't just go, okay, I can't get 25 feet up in this tree, so I'm not going to hunt the spot. You kind of got to be willing to think outside the box a little bit when it comes to that. There's not a ton of just straight pine trees in an area where you can just like, all right, I'll just move over to this tree 10 yards away. It'd be easy enough to get into.
Yeah. And I guess I pose the same question to you. I mean, is there any concerns with you or anything you're worried about or trying to face?
My only issue is time, like just running out of time, which it always seems like. I feel like when you're planning a trip that is like a 6 or 7 day trip, it always seems like you kind of get it. If you don't really have it figured out right when you get there, you kind of get it figured out like around the last day or so. and you're like, man, if I just had one more day to hunt here or whatnot. That being said, I hope that some of the stuff that I know works in the Midwest will work. Like, I hope that calling works. I hope that maybe rattling works up there, and maybe I can bring some deer in or grunting at them, or maybe using a doe bleed or something like that. We'll be able to coax some of these deer in because it's not a lot of something that we do down here, and you kind of forget about it. And up there, I think it's something more that you can employ as a tactic, especially when you're seeing something cruising 300 yards away out in the middle of a field or something like that. Because you got a good visual on them, but you're like, well, there's no way I can, I'm not over there, but hopefully maybe I can rattle or grunt or something and it'll get their attention to where they'll come that way. I've had mixed results in Florida. I know a lot of people that call and stuff in Florida, but I know some people that just don't call at all. Because if certain deer you grunt at, they've run to the county line from where you're sitting at when you grunt at them. I think you've had a little bit of success rattling. I mean, last year you rattled in a really big buck here in Florida, but it was just, he was on the other side of the property line. And I think there was a fence in the way and he just didn't quite, he had a good visual on where you were at as far as like, okay, there's nothing over there.
He
didn't come in.
That's about how it happened.
But I've rattled a bunch in Florida and never had a deer come in. now I've grunted at deer and they've come in before, but never any rattling. And all of my Midwest trips that I've called, I've just never had any success. I don't know if I'm just set up wrong for it or whatever, but just I've grunted at deer. No, actually, I can't say that. In Kansas, when I grunted at one, he came to me on a string, and I shot him.
Okay.
So I did grunt at one in Kansas, but I didn't really – in Iowa, none of my calling worked. Rattling, grunting, like the deer kind of looked my way, but they never came. They were out cruising or whatever, and I grunted at them or did what – and they looked, but they never kind of made that decision, all right, I'm going to go over there.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that works.
Would be nice. That would be nice to see some actual rutting activity and chasing and stuff like that. That'll be a nice experience.
Yeah. I would like to see that. I talked to Brad about the calling, but I mean, he says he hasn't called up there, but last year he killed a buck on the first set. I mean, so he hasn't had to do any of that. And then the first year he was up there, he shot a buck and the very first day. But I mean, he didn't recover that one, and he hunted some more the rest of that week. I think he spent a lot of time looking for that buck, but so I don't know. I'm hoping that calling works, but I think we just need to kind of get honed in on finding, like you said, okay, what are these deer doing? Are they using the edges? Are they just crossing right in the center of these CRP fields, getting the fence lines, using them? Are they using the creeks? Things like that. And I think once we kind of get that figured out, we can keep micro-adjusting, kind of like I mentioned. Like maybe get set up in an area, see what the deer are doing, and then you just keep making these micro-adjustments
to get closer within bow range, because it is.
Yeah,
we will be using a bow while we're up there. So,
although yeah, I don't know nothing how fair, like the ultimate challenge.
I don't know how fair it would be if you had a rifle.
No,
that particular time, because you can see forever out there.
But I think you and me both talked about, you know, if, you know, I think we're going to start out probably pretty far from each other, just so we can look at different areas. But then after that, I think if, you know, if one of us gets honed in on deer, I think we're going to do, I guess, a system you like to do, right, with the working, what do you call it, the alpha system or whatever, where you guys hunt the wolf pack.
Oh, wolf pack system, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that would, I think that'd be a good tactic to kind of employ up there. And like I said, if one of us is seeing a ton of deer and the other one's not, then the other one just needs to move over into that area. I mean, it's a team thing. We're both hoping to come away with deer from this situation, so, or whatever. I don't care who kills the deer as long as long as one of us kills the deer. My hope was is that you killed a deer on the first day and then you could film me the rest of the time.
I'll shoot that 100-inch deer for you. I'll finally get my 100-inch deer.
Yeah, exactly. You should have been going for the registry, but you get it, but it's in Missouri.
Missouri.
not Florida, but
no.
The goal, like I said, hopefully is to be able to document quite a bit of it. Bring back whatever our experiences are from the trip. I know a lot of people on the podcast kind of hunt their home state. They don't venture very far out. And I think it would be a good way to kind of be like, hey, anybody can do this. It's not super expensive. I mean, the scouting trip we took added money to it. But if you take the scouting trip out of it and then you just decide, hey, I'm going to take an extra couple of days going up to add a couple of extra days going up there and maybe spend the first day or so scouting the property, kind of like we did. It's not a super expensive trip. The tag, I think, is like $250 or something.
Yeah.
And then we're driving out there. So, you got that expense or whatever. It's probably $150 or whatever. 175 driving out there and 175 driving back, but we're staying at an Airbnb that costs like $37 a day or something like that.
That's going to be a gold mine.
Especially
being nice and close to the public, compared to where we stayed for our scouting trip, which was an hour away.
Yeah. For the scout, I tried to get the same spot place, but it was already booked or they had taken it down or something. For those particular days that we were going to be up there. So we're not going to be far. I think that's going to help anyways of just like as far as being able to sleep more or just getting to the place and relaxing and getting a shower as opposed to taking that hour to get back and an hour to get there in the morning time. We're not very far at all, which we kind of lucked out on that. So it's not, like I said, it's not a super expensive trip. You'd probably, like I said, if you go with a buddy or whatnot, I mean, you may have $600 in it or something. And I think, I mean, that's not bad. I mean,
no.
an Iowa tag is like $600 just for the tag. this is over the counter. So you can buy the tag whenever you want, for a place like Missouri. And there were other pieces of public. I mean, it was funny because at the Airbnb that we stayed in while we were there, we went in one night, we're in our camo, and we come out because we were going to get dinner or whatever after a long day, and the guy's like, are you guys bow hunters? And we were kind of like, this could go two different ways, like either this guy's a hunter or they don't like hunting. One or the other. And he started talking to us, and he was a big time hunter. And he started like name dropping management areas, not far from the management area we were going to be hunting, and talking about how well they were managed, and we should give those places a look and things like that. So there's more than just there's more than just that management area there. I know that management area is good, but if you can find an area where, hey, there's, because those weren't far from there.
No, they weren't.
They were closer than far away we were staying from the place at that point.
Yeah. No, but you know, that is another thing different than Florida, is that there was a lot of public, you know, and obviously there's no, at least from what I know, there's no quota system, at least for all these management areas that are around us, around there in Missouri. They're just walk-ons,
right?
You know, so that kind of gives us a benefit. If, you know, if for some reason we're just not getting on them there, we could jump over to another one. But with the trip being so short, I don't know if we will do that. I mean, unless we just get a feeling, you know, but like you said, I think it's going to be a little bit of a grind just to get on them and find them. But once we find them, I think we're going to have good success in a sense of at least getting on deer, and starting to figure them out. Hopefully it's sooner rather than later.
Right. Yeah. And we've got these days blocked off. So if for some reason we both killed deer within a day or two of being there, we talked about, like, well, we need to go check those other areas out.
Yeah.
At least spend a day checking those other areas out, maybe scout them some, or just see what the pressure is on those other areas, just to have kind of as backup plans or whatever at some point. But I think, I think that is – hopefully we're going to have, like you said, hopefully we'll have good weather going out there. That's the only real kicker to me is the weather. If it's like super hot during that time, may not be as good from what I've seen, but we've got the days picked this year.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
I mean, we don't know. We could, if we could actually extend it a day or two, if we had to.
Yeah.
But hopefully we won't have to do that. Hopefully we'll have the good weather.
Yeah, hopefully.
So what are your predictions for when we get up there in November?
My predictions when we get there in November, let's see. The perfect prediction will be there'll be nobody hunting. It'll be about 30 degrees. There'll be big bucks running everywhere. No, I mean, honestly, my prediction is I think there's going to be minimal pressure, at least during the week, for sure. And, you know, I think we're going to get on them, honestly. I think, you know, like I said, we left there a little bit unsure just because everything was super green. And, you know, we did see some deer, but there was so much bedding cover and so many places for them to bed at that moment that I don't think we saw the deer that are actually on that property. I don't think we saw the numbers that are actually on that property. So I think we're going to be surprised when we get there. I think there's going to be a lot more deer. And I think we're going to see some deer, and I think you're probably going to get a shot is my prediction. My prediction is, you're going to get a shot at a deer. I don't know how big, but it's going to be bigger than anything you've shot in Florida, which is pretty big. And me, I'm probably just going to be sightseeing for a lot of it and just looking at deer. So I'm excited. Or that, or you're going to tell me, like, the second day, like, hey, man, I got this buck coming through. I'm going to kill him. You need to come in the tree with me. And then I just videotape him, and that's it.
Right.
So, I mean, that's – now, my prediction, I think we're going to get on deer, and I think we're going to be a little bit surprised at how many more deer there are that we didn't see the when we went up there now.
Right. Well, I talked about that while we were up there, is that there is so much food for them right now. Like, they're going to be spread out. All of the foliage was still on the trees, still plenty of cover for them in certain areas. When we get there, pretty much all the corn's going to be down. If I had to guess, the oak, I mean, like we mentioned, all the acorns at that point that they had to choose from. So I think that's going to be a little more scarce. And even around, like, the private pieces and everything else, once all those ag fields dry up, they're going to move into there because that's where the cover's at. There's just, it's the place that just has a recipe to hold deer, in my opinion. So any deer probably within a mile of that place, once everything kind of goes to the wayside, are going to be moving into there.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. You know, you're the big buck slayer, so you know I'm definitely gonna go on with what you say, and you know, hopefully I can add to the trip and not be a hindrance. But I definitely think we're going to have a good time, especially with a 17-hour car ride.
Yeah. We have a little bit of a ride out there, but most of that's going to be throughout the night getting there.
Yeah.
So we're leaving whatever after trick or treating on the 31st for my kids. And we're going to jet that way. Luckily, we gain an hour going out there. It won't be time change yet. So that'll be good as well. It'll be time change as we're leaving.
That'll be good.
But, yeah, I think all that's going to be good. My prediction is, like I said, you're going to get that. Hopefully, you're going to get that rutting activity that you're looking for. Be able to see bucks chasing. I know Brett mentioned to me at one point on that WMA that he watched a buck fight off like 6 different bucks one day in this big CRP field throughout the day. So you don't see that in Florida.
No.
So if we can get anything like that, maybe, who knows, maybe see some fighting or whatever, or just calling deer in. I mean, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that experience. And it's just something new other than Florida. The typical, like, you're hunting in thick woods, can't see very far a lot of the time, unless you're hunting down in South Florida and stuff where you can see forever on some of those plains. And you got a chance at killing a giant.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a chance at killing a really big buck that you wouldn't have the chance in Florida. And you have a chance of seeing quite a few bucks throughout the day that will all be bigger than something that you're probably going to kill in Florida.
Yeah, that's something I do forget about. I do forget about that, you know, a giant could walk out at any moment. It's possible there. I mean, they have the food, they have the cover. I mean, the Midwest is known for big bucks. So right. I got to keep remembering that.
Yeah. A giant could walk out. It's not like, and I mean, in Florida, yeah, a giant could walk out. It's just not the same.
No, it's not the same. Our giant here is their average there.
Right, exactly. It's something that a lot of them would, like, look at and maybe and not even take a second glance at of thinking about picking their bow up or something.
No.
Yeah, that's a 2.5-year-old.
Yeah, I'm going to let him walk.
I'm going to let him walk.
No.
So, but in my opinion, going up there, so what is your – or do you have, like, a cutoff of what you're going to shoot when you get up there? Like, are you looking for anything in particular, or is it just if it tickles your fancy, you're going to shoot it?
Well, it depends if it's the first day or the last day.
Right.
No, I mean, honestly, it's probably going to be anything that tickles my fancy. You know, it's hard for me to tell you that, you know, I'm going to shoot the first, you know, 4-point I see or not. But I mean, I would like to hold out for, you know, a bigger deer, something about around 120. I mean, that's what I would like to shoot for. But I mean, if he just gets me going and I get excited, I'm going to shoot him. I mean, I don't have anything to uphold or whatever. I don't have a title or anything to uphold. So it doesn't matter to me. Shooting a deer in Missouri, shooting a buck in Missouri would be nice. I know we'll both be excited. It doesn't matter how big he is. But I don't really have anything in mind particular. Like I said, anything that tickles my fancy and gets my heart pumping is probably getting a shot, to be honest with you.
Yeah. That's a good goal. I haven't been pressuring you to do anything. You keep like, oh, what do you think? I was like, shoot whatever you want, man. It's your hunt.
Yeah.
I don't care. I mean, if it's legal and you want to shoot it, then go for it.
Yeah.
Although I might be griping when we have to get that thing out of there.
Yeah.
But
you also have alternate alternatives here. You know, you want, if I shoot a deer early, then I get to film for you the whole time. That's another benefit if I shoot anything.
Oh yeah, but I don't care. I mean, I'm going to be filming either way, so I'm going to have the camera either way.
No, I know.
But I mean, sure. You shoot one on the first day, great. Then we're out there working together. You got the camera. Be a lot better for the YouTube channel, obviously.
Oh yeah.
If somebody else has a camera in hand. but I'm definitely not going to just keep you to constraint. Like, oh, you're going to film me until I kill a deer. Well, I guess you didn't get a hunt at all, Brandon. Sorry.
No, sorry.
So I appreciate you coming up. But, yeah, I think it – I don't – I mean, as far as me, obviously I'd like to shoot something big, but starts getting towards that last day or whatever, then who knows? Who knows? And if it gets me fired up, it gets me fired up. So I'm not going to say I'm going to shoot a 150 while I'm out there. I don't know. I mean, a 125 comes out, and it's a great situation, and he was fighting or chasing a doe or whatever, and gets me excited, then I'm going to let one fly.
It'll be nice, man. It'll be nice for us to get something down, and it'll be a great time. And I'm sure everybody on YouTube will enjoy it. Hopefully enjoy the great footage you're going to lay down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hopefully we get a bunch of good footage. I've kind of delegated you as like to get as much good B-roll as possible.
Yeah.
Just in case. Well, good deal. I think we've covered it quite a bit. This is going to be part one of the Missouri experience. I've been out to the Midwest before. Brandon never has. After the hunt, we'll get back together and do a podcast on the experience of hunting a Midwest state during the rut, especially for someone like yourself who's never experienced it. And hopefully have a couple of stories to tell about bucks that we got on the ground.
Yeah, that'll be a great way to end it.
Yep. Well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Inspired you to get outside and enjoy the great outdoors. All right, everybody, something I forgot to mention at the beginning of the podcast, and I can't believe I forgot to mention it, was to give a big shout out to our Patreon members. They help make this show possible. We have a great time with all of our Patreon groups. We have a Marco Polo group, a Discord group. Everybody is all the time going back and forth on that group. Our Marco Polo, we've already seen quite a few deer go down this year. There's already been a bunch of discussion on our Discord. So if you'd like to become a member of our Patreon group, just visit www.patreon.com/chasingtailsoutdoors. We'd love to have you in our community. We call it Deer Camp. So if you get a chance, check that out, and there'll be a link down in the show notes. Appreciate you guys.